Hello, I'm Joshua Vickery.
And I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, and welcome to Magic 107.7 and to our show, From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
So we're excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. We're going to find out how they create and why, and how Orlando can benefit from an even greater arts presence.
And on each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Awesome. Hello, Mary.
Hey there, Joshua.
We are back in the studio again, Sunday night. Hopefully we are meeting you somewhere on the drive home or just relaxing after a very long week and getting ready for a brand new, wonderful week. And we're excited to be able to talk about the arts and all the things that are so exciting in our community.
Yeah, we're here to tell you what's new and good. Speaking of new and good, what did you do this week in the arts?
Oh, what did I do? I conducted a show. It was awesome. We did a night on the red carpet with Central Florida Community Arts, and it was music from the Oscars and music from the Tonys. So 300 voice choir and an orchestra and an aerialist and all sorts of fun things. So I had a very, very busy week in the arts, and unfortunately, that's all I got to see and experience, but it was great. You were there, right?
I was there, and it was amazing, and I was so proud to go, I work with that man to watch you up there. Your choir, what, over 300 people?
Yeah, 300 people.
And the orchestra, over 100?
And that show, there was about 50, but we have a show coming up in a couple weeks where there's 152 musicians going to be on the stage.
Oh,
we're trying to
goodness.
Figure out how we're going to do that, but it's going to happen.
Well, I will say, Jason, my husband, came for the first time, and he was blown away. He thought he was so entertained. And watching you, at one point I thought you looked like Danny Kaye because you were jumping up and down and conducting.
People tell me that I dance when I conduct, and I'm thinking, I don't have any rhythm in my body, but
you
then I watch
did.
It, and it yeah. looks like I'm going to take off
you
in
really
flight.
You really did. But we thought you were. And watching how animated all your singers are, you give them permission to just have fun, and it really did translate.
Awesome. Well, let me give a shout out to the almost 400 performers that were in that show. Job well done, and our community applauds you and all the hard work that you did to put in that show. But boy, I wish I had more time last week to go see things because there's so many wonderful, exciting things happening in our arts community still. I have still not been able to see Singin' in the Rain at the Garden Theater.
Did.
You got to see it?
Yes, I did.
Tell us about it.
Oh, my goodness. Nigel Columbus, we had Gene Columbus on our show, and he spoke about what it's like having his son as a dancer because he explained how he was a dancer. He did movies and films. And oh, my goodness, Nigel was brilliant. His dancing, his singing, his acting, I got chills. I was so proud to see young Gene up there on that stage.
Yeah, and I've just heard so many great things about it. Of course, Matt Palm gave great accolades about it in the review. And, you know, we talked about how Garden Theater is really a theater to watch. Mm-hmm. And so proud of that whole, of Becky and that whole group, Alana, who's just doing great work. So please go see Singin' in the Rain. And another show I really want to see is The Producers out at Osceola Arts. I just had coffee with Brandon Roberts and Todd Zimmerman. And they're playing the two leads, and in mm-hmm. real life, they're just characters. So I'm sure on stage, it's heightened and wonderful. But I've heard great things about that,
Adam
too.
Adam Grant directed that, I believe.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, absolutely mm-hmm. he did. Anything that you're still wanting to see out there? Of course, you know, the
Orlando Fringe it opened
off.
Last night.
Yeah, it did.
So we have 13 days left of a lot of Fringe shows to see.
And only 86 shows to check out.
That's all.
You can do that in 13 days, right, Mary? Are there any that you're going to go see? Are there anyone that have
yes.
caught your eye?
As a matter of fact, tonight I'm going to go see the takeoff of Hamilton called Simpleton.
Oh, Simpleton.
Yes, the story of President Trump, it says.
Oh,
done in rap. So
I
it
saw
should be
that.
Fun.
I saw that. Cool. So, yeah, check out the Fringe Festival. There is so many different kinds of shows. Like we had when we had George and Michael on the show, we mm-hmm. talked about it being such an adventure, you mm-hmm. know, never knowing what you're going to catch when you go see it, but so many artists creating great works and great arts at the Fringe Festival,
and that's why we're here. For anyone tuning in that hasn't been in to listen to our show before, what we're here to do is to show you and to explain to you what is here in the arts in Central Florida. There's so many wonderful things, and we have on guests that share what they're doing and what they're passionate about and how it can make all of our lives better, because we do believe that's what the arts do.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of, let's just get right on, because
yes.
we have an amazing guest today who we are excited to talk to, who wears many, many hats, and we're going to let you talk. He's going to tell you all about those things. But we are so happy to have Cole Neesmith on the show today. So welcome, Cole.
Thanks
welcome,
so much.
Cole.
So great to be here.
I did a little bit of research on you, Cole.
Oh.
Well, certainly we know that you're the pastor and creative director of City Beautiful Church in Orlando, Florida. But I found out you're also a visual artist, a writer, a speaker, a musician, actor, arts advocate, and experience curator, which I can't wait to ask you about that. And I know that I've worked with you for the Creative City Project, which you founded. Oh my goodness, when do you breathe?
Right now, sitting with you guys, just relaxing.
What are you most excited about these days?
Oh, there is a lot going on, but it is exciting stuff. And, you know, the Creative City Project is something that I care a lot about. And we've been, over the last 4 years, having a great time bringing Orlando to life with art and performance, shutting down the streets and using the public spaces of downtown Orlando to really kind of do what you guys are doing here on the radio program, which is showcasing the incredible arts community that we have here in Central Florida.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that it's only been around 4 years. It's kind of like, you know, that I've been involved in it pretty much since its inception, but I feel like it's just always been around, partly because it's seen such explosive growth. I mean, last year, boy, you really did. You shut down downtown Orlando.
In
the best of ways. How have you done that in 4 years?
You know, so in 2012, I looked around, and this all just kind of started like personally for me. I looked around and I saw all of these creative friends that I have in the design world and the dance world and the music world. And I said, our city would be better off if they knew that these people were here making the amazing things that they're making. And so that first year, we just kind of guerrilla style with no permits and not a lot of production, put a different artist in a public space in downtown Orlando every day during the month of October. And on a whim, I called Orlando Ballet, didn't have any relationships there. On a whim, I called Cirque du Soleil, had no relationships there. And I said, hey, I believe that our city is a creative city and it's continuing to grow as a creative city. And I want the rest of our city and the world to know that that's true. And so we had independent artists say, yes, I'll come do something that month in October in 2012. And we finished the whole thing with Cirque du Soleil coming out. They brought about 30 of their performers. They did an original 45-minute work in front of City Hall in the middle of the afternoon. There were several thousand people who came. And, you know, last year we had over 800 artists and performers participate, and we had about 15,000 people who came to the event. And it's just, I think it's a representation that our city really believes that we are a creative people, and we love to celebrate that, and we love to see it, and we love to experience it. And I think what Creative City Project has had the opportunity to do is just bring about what people have been waiting for, to say, hey, we're waving our banner, and our banner is we are a creative people.
Mm, I love that. You know, if you pull up the website, creativecityproject.com, there's just this scrolling photos that really showcase the diversity of the different performers and the artists, and really does prove that Orlando has a diverse culture when it comes to artists. It's really the wide gamut of everything. And if you're listening to the show tonight on Magic 107.7, we want you to know that we are a creative city. And I think you're saying that is your mission. Is that the totality of the mission, is just to make sure people know that we're creative?
Well, we have a big vision, and we have kind of a three component mission. One is to help create and champion a thriving arts community in Orlando. So we want to serve artists, we want to platform artists, and we want to pay artists. You know, we want to really help create a thriving arts community in Orlando. The second part of our mission is around the people who live here in our city. We want people who live here to love that they live here. I, as a creative person, have experienced so much transience of my creative friends coming in and out of our city. But at the same time, there is a really strong group of artists who call Orlando home and love calling it home. And so we, as the Creative City Project, really want to help people love Orlando a lot, the ones who live here. And the third component of our mission is a global perspective. We want Orlando on the global stage to be known as a city for creativity and innovation, because we believe that it is.
It is.
And so
we've been on three major lists of the top creative city in our country, in the top 20, one tied for second and third place.
Yeah. And so we have kind of a threefold mission. One is to care for artists and champion them. Two is to help the residents of our city love it more. And three is to help the world know who we are and really platform who we are. And not only platform, but to continue to develop our identity as a city known for creativity.
I love that. So tell us, how do you care and champion for artists outside of that? Because, you know, Creative City Project for you is an ongoing 365-day, you know, I think you said 70% of your life. Yeah. But for the community, it seems like it's a one night thing.
Right.
So how do you care and champion for artists outside of that one night? What are some ways that Creative City Project wraps their hearts and mind and soul around artists besides the one night?
Some of it is in big ways and some of it is in very small ways. Daniel Ross, who's the artistic director of Cirque du Soleil, and we're hosting him for a workshop.
On
June 9th. It's a Thursday night. It's free to artists. And the whole workshop is about the creative process. So hearing from Daniel, who's worked for decades with Cirque du Soleil, talk about how they do what they do and why they do it and why he cares about what they're making. And so, you know, just providing free opportunities like that for artists to really develop and hone their own creative process. And then some of it is, you know, one of the things I love, and I've even gotten more of an opportunity to do this over the last few months, is a lot of our arts organizations feel like silos, and because of what, or they feel like islands, and because of what the Creative City Project is, we are a collaborative organization, and we bring arts organizations together. And over the last few months, I've had opportunities to sit with executive directors and artistic directors of the largest arts organizations in our city. And we have a meeting for 45 minutes, and then we talk for an hour and a half about what's happening in their organizations. And, you know, as long as we as Creative City Project and I as part of that organization get the opportunity to encourage the executive directors of our arts organizations and to bring together arts organizations for collaboration that really gives them life and helps them thrive, we're helping build a strong and thriving arts community in our city. So some of it is the one-on-one, and some of it is those bigger things where we get to kind of invite artists into some collaborative opportunities.
And we are so glad you're listening to us tonight on Magic 107.7, the show from the heart, talking about the arts in our community with the beautiful and talented Mary Thompson Hunt. My name is Joshua Vickery, and tonight we're with our guest, Cole Neesmith, who is the founder and executive director of a Creative City Project, the pastor of City Beautiful Church. But Cole, you know, we've talked a lot about collaboration. We've talked a little bit about the mission of the organization. Help us if I've never been to Creative City Project and I'm walking down the streets. You know, our orchestra has been able to do some cool things, kind of an immersive experience of standing in the middle of an orchestra while they're playing. Last year they did a Michael Jackson Thriller medley while people stood right in the middle of them. But maybe walk us down the streets of Creative City Project and what are the types of things we would experience?
Yeah. So we have all kinds of performances at Creative City Project. And our event in 2016 is Saturday, October 15th. And we close down Orange Avenue from Washington all the way down to Jackson there where the Grand Bohemian Hotel is. We're going to be on Church Street. We're going to be on Pine Street. And we'll have over 1,000 artists participating this year. And we kind of have two different types of experiences in general. Some of those experiences are experiences that will make you say, wow. So expect to see a big crane in the middle of Orange Avenue with some acrobats from Cirque du Soleil hanging from that crane, their singer singing live on a balcony behind. And then we have some smaller experiences that maybe only 50 people can experience at a time or 100 people can experience at a time. What we want is everybody who comes to Creative City Project walking away telling a different story of their experience, but all of those stories being really exciting and compelling ones. And so we really just want to champion artists in a way that gives them the opportunity to consider how we break that fourth wall and to consider how architecture and environment affect the relationship between artist and audience and give audiences experiences they can't have anywhere else, whether musical or in dance or in theater or some sort of interactive installation.
What, tell us an experience that has happened at Creative City Project that has been different than anything else that people have experienced in Orlando?
Sure.
I mean, I know I got to experience some, but tell us.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned the Central Florida Community Arts Orchestra. So what we did is we put the sections of the orchestra on five stages along the roadway, and the audience was able to immerse themselves among the sections of the orchestra, among those five stages, and have this immersive orchestral experience. So we want to, you know, usually you go to an orchestral performance and there's the orchestra way up there on the stage. And we said, how can we give audiences the opportunity to stand in the best sounding spot right in the middle of the orchestra? So we have a lot of immersive and interactive experiences like that. We do some immersive projection installations. We have visual artists who are inviting people to collaborate on the visual arts experiences. And Mary, you even did something with the art of conversation. How can we use art to engage the community in conversation together?
We had a whole park set up for experiencing ways to connect and engage with other people. We had the Living Library where people would hold up a sign. I'm a lawyer. Ask me about it. I'm a ventriloquist. I've been on Broadway. We had little tables with questions on them. We had a conversation campfire. A lot of fun. But speaking about fun, we're going to have a lot more fun when we come back. We've got more to talk about with Colney Smith. So please stay with us here on Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt with my brilliant co-host Joshua Vickery. And we'll be back on From the Heart. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Magic 107.7. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt, here with my co-host, Joshua Vickery, and we're talking to you from the heart. Today, our guest is Colney Smith, and Cole is an artisan. He's a Renaissance man. There's nothing pretty much creative that this man does not do.
Wow. Thank you.
I haven't seen you walk on water yet, but we're going to be watching.
Wouldn't you love to have that introduction everywhere
there
you went?
There you go. Yeah. One time.
We're so glad to have you here. What I love about this man is he's very creative and he's bold. He's courageous and he goes out and creates things. You've created a church. You've created the Orlando City Project. You're in plays. You sing. You're bold and brave. Talk about what it takes to be courageous in the creative world.
Well, thanks for those really kind words, first of all. That means a lot, for sure. And I'm honored to get to do that alongside of so many really wonderful people. But, you know, when it comes to the creative process, one of the things that I think is one of the biggest lessons I learned in college, which was I can create on a deadline. I think so many people wait until they're inspired, quote unquote, inspired, before they start taking their art or their creativity seriously. And for me, I've just learned the high value of saying, you know what, I have this dream and I've worked really hard to kind of get myself in a place where I have a craft to accompany that dream. And I'm going to give myself a deadline and we're going to do it by then. And inevitably, any creative endeavor never turns out the way you want it to. And you'll never have as many resources as you want. And you'll never have, you know, the final product you want, but eventually you just got to unleash it to the world. And so that's one of the things that I think that I learned, you know, doing poetry classes. I took a poetry class in college. And in that moment, in that process of that class, I learned I have an assignment due and I can do it. And then I think the second lesson I learned at the same time, which was, it was that parameters are really good. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think actually having an unlimited budget or having, you know, every available resource or every available, you know, pool of ideology or whatever it might be, having everything available to you actually is not doing us a service in our creative process. And so if we can have some limitations, whether those are self-imposed or externally imposed, it helps us in our creative endeavors.
It becomes a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're using words that aren't usually associated with artists, like deadlines and parameters, you know.
Well,
but it's important,
I'll push
right?
back, and I'll say that those words aren't usually associated with people who think they're artists.
Ooh.
So people
we're getting
who are
deep now, yeah. Mary. We're getting deep.
People who are actually artists, people who are working artists, are very much people of discipline and deadline.
Deadline is also opening night.
Yeah,
when you really want to have that script memorized.
Yeah. Especially for the set designer.
For Creative City Project, there's that one night you need to have your installation ready, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think artists, you know, too, like you said, artists that are professional artists that are really making this their life and their career, they're also businessmen and businesswomen.
Absolutely.
They're their own sole propriety, but they have to have these things. And I think, you know, you were just named as part of the Central Florida top 100 people, and you've won all these awards and all sorts of things, which shows that you really are a great leader as well. And Mary and I talk a lot about the art of leadership. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that it's important, some of these things that you've learned? How have these things really made Creative City Project and other things that you're doing, how have they made it so much better by some of these leadership lessons that you're instilling in others?
Ugh, you know, I think one of the hardest leadership lessons to learn is, like, we aren't good at everything. And for me to admit I'm not good at everything and to really value the diversity of people's strengths and to say, you know what, I know the things I'm good at. I love facilitating creative collaboration. I love helping get people started from the beginning. But when it comes to me keeping track of my email and my appointments and my calendar and the smallness of logistical details, I'm not good at those things. And so I have to find people at first who are willing to do some of those things out of a passion because I don't have the ability to pay them. But then, you know, even as an organization continues to grow, whether that's your own personal artistic career or a huge arts nonprofit, it requires a team of people to do something bigger than what an individual can do by him or herself. And so I think it's knowing what I'm good at, knowing what I care about, and then asking people, begging people, inviting people into the process to do it with. And I'm relational at heart too. And so I think I just enjoy it more when I can do it with people I like.
My name is Mary Thompson Hunt, and I'm here on Magic 107.7 with my astute, erudite, and sagacious co-host, Joshua Vickery. So happy to be here today with Colney Smith. Couldn't be happier to be with this amazingly creative man who happens to bring to Orlando Creative City Project Orlando. That's the every second Saturday of October?
Third weekend of October.
So
October 15th in 2016.
Okay, put that on your calendar now, October 16th. It's a grand night of creative people. And that's one of the things I wanted to ask you. When people want to express their creativity, but they're not in a line of work like we are, what do you say? What do you say to someone who just works around the house?
You know, one of the things I think I've learned about creativity is it's not so much about what you do, it's how you think. And I think that I have people in my life who are accountants who think more creatively than some of the painters in my life. And, you know, at the end of the day, creativity is about approaching something with fresh eyes, with a new perspective, thinking about something differently.
Give us an example.
Yeah. So for me, you know, we were just talking about leadership. I think for me, I'm constantly rediscovering what it means to be a good leader. And there are days where I approach a group of people the complete wrong way. And creativity is my ability to say, all right, that went that way. And that wasn't the best way it could have gone. So how can I reimagine how I can approach people today? And I think that is how we embody and exhibit creative leadership. And, you know, from, you know, let's talk about a dance company. Some of the most creative dance companies aren't the ones who are just doing what's always been done, although there is beauty in tradition. It's people who are asking, how can we do this a little bit differently? How can we think about dance in a new way? How can we think about dance's relationship to technology in a new way? How can we think about dance and its relationship to music, or dance and its relationship to the audience? And just ask some questions about what it means to think about the things we do in with a fresh perspective.
Being curious. I would like to speak to your leadership skills. And I didn't know you before Creative City Project. And during my installation, when we got there at 7 in the morning before anyone else, we were setting up. Couple hours later, someone came out and said, you can't be here.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I ever told you this, Joshua. Mm-hmm. So we had to get up and leave, and where were we going to go? And you came over, and I decided, this is out of my control. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be chill about this. You're like, what do you need? Well, I'd like this space. But the way you were about it, you kept coming back and checking with me. What is most important to you, and what is your biggest concern right now? You asked such important questions in a real unemotional charged way. You kept offering me what you could give. You came back and said, how's this working? And I told you, and you said, well, what is it you want? I'd like to be here. And anyway, you made it work. But what impressed me was you sought to understand, and you thought, what can I do? You tried to work with people. You didn't get emotional about it, nor did I. But I was so happy that you were there to just lead us into what we could do. And it turned out to be a grand night. But so much of that was because of you, Cole.
Thanks.
I don't know if you're aware of how easy you made that seem.
Cool. That means a lot. Again, like you, I just feel like you're giving me, this is, you know, I'm here so that you guys can say awesome things and encourage me, which I really, really love.
Well, I love you said earlier that you're relational, and a lot about leadership is relationships. Yeah. A lot of it is about thinking about who you are leading and putting them above you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, you know, the definition defined by Webster's Dictionary of creativity is the use of the imagination or original ideas. And some of the synonyms are inventiveness, innovation, originality, individuality, which I think for you, those were just synonymous with your leadership. You know, you just said it. He was trying to be innovative. He was thinking of you as an individual mm-hmm. when he was looking at that situation. Mm-hmm. So do you think creativity and leadership absolutely go hand in hand?
Yeah, I've gotten the opportunity to think a lot about that and speak on it and write about it. And it's something that I really care about because I think leadership is often so rigid, but creative leadership opens us up to new solutions to problems and new opportunities to approach things in different ways. And ultimately, like the Creative City Project and I, as part of the leadership of the Creative City Project, we are advocates. And so, you know, you have a passion to help engage people in conversation through art, and that's what you were bringing as part of the Creative City Project. And my role that day with you and with the other artists who are participating in our event in 2015 and this year again in 2016 is to make a way for them to do what they do. And at the end of the day, I want to be your greatest champion because I think that both of us are thinking about the community. Mm. And you're not thinking about you and I'm not thinking about me. We're thinking about how we together can come together in a way that serves our community well, that helps us thrive as artists and creative people, and to use that creativity to transform our city. Because my hope is that as a result of Creative City Project, encountering the people of our city on the streets of downtown Orlando, is that we see ourselves differently, we see our art differently, we see our city, the physical spaces of our city differently, and we care more about it and one another.
That's leadership and art, because we were talking about, Joshua, how art helps people to stand in other people's shoes and see the life, every life as a little bit alike. Mm. And then we're not so divided.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And you are a great leader. And I know that our listeners who are listening in on the show tonight on Magic 107.7 FM, I know that they're all thinking, man, this guy's so cool. I want to be his best friend. And I definitely want to go to Creative City Project. But how did you get here, Cole? You are a great leader, but how did you get here? Tell us about little Cole. Growing up, and what were your dreams, and how did you get to be where you are today?
Well, let me also say, I mean, I feel like I just have to say that I think that I have been given a lot of really wonderful leadership opportunities, but so much of what I know and do today comes out of a lot of mistakes. And I think if we're people who are willing to approach something with boldness, and even if we fail, learn from it, that we're better off than just being immobilized and never trying it.
Mm. And so do it. Do something, right?
There's probably dozens and dozens of people who could call into this radio station right now and tell you about how I led them poorly. But I want to be a person who is extending grace to others and hopefully receiving grace in response and learning along the way.
Cole, we just happen to have some of those people on the line right now.
The phones are lit up, Mary.
That was me. I'm just kidding.
I would love to talk to some of those people.
But that's a little bit of your pastor's heart, too. I mean, that is a little bit of extending the grace and leading by grace and expecting that from yourself.
Yeah.
And that comes tenfold back to you. I think that's part of your pastor's heart. But do tell us, I mean, what are some of the steps, maybe some of the mistakes, in the few minutes we have left that got you to be where you are today?
I grew up in Orlando. You asked me about my past, so I'll just kind of answer that, both questions at the same time. I grew up in Orlando. I didn't know how awesome I had it until I went away. I moved away for a little while, lived in a few different cities, experienced some wonderful things, and grew. But in those times, I began to recognize how much relationship does mean to me. And so I returned back to Orlando with the intention of helping paint on the white space of the canvas of Orlando, because there was a lot of it, and there still is. And that's one of the things I love about our city. And in doing that, I think I lived most of my life really loving the idea that I could be right about something and that I had the best perspective about how things should be done. And, I think if we opened up the lines and asked people, how is Cole not led well? Those are probably most of the things that they would say is Cole has a strong bent toward what he thinks is true. And I, in my own life, I think this change has come about in me because I've learned that so many of those things that at one point I thought were like die on a mountain because I thought they were so true and right are things I think totally differently about now. Mm. And having evolved in that way myself and seen how some of the perspectives that I was so rigid on earlier in my life that I've grown and I've seen different ways about and I've heard other opinions about and I've gotten different perspectives on, and how those things have helped me have a change in my own perspective, has loosened up my hands a little bit to say, you know what, I'm better off if I'm willing to step into a thing, a moment with a person or an idea, and be open-handed and to hear another perspective and to value it. And so I'd say that that's kind of the biggest leadership evolution that I've gone through. And my biggest mistake, I think, was thinking that my perspective was the right perspective and was the only perspective, and that my biggest goal in life wasn't to serve you or our city or the artists of our city, but was to convince everyone to believe like I believed and thought how I thought.
Wow, that's a great, I mean, that is a great lesson to learn. I love that you use the word evolved.
Yeah.
I think we are all evolving when it comes to the journey of leadership, or even coming to the journey of creativity and how we are evolving as artists. You know, you've talked a little bit about what you're trying to instill as a leader. What are some leadership skills or things that you look for in people that are leading you that you value?
Well, first, a willingness. You know, I think I was talking to a friend the other day who's a designer, and he was kind of bemoaning this difficulty that he's having finding people to that he can follow in the design world. And he's like, it just seems like so many people are so wrapped up in making their own stuff that they don't have time for me. And so I think a willingness of other leaders to cross the line of, you know, self-centeredness to really serve other artists or to serve the community in some special ways. And so I think that's the first thing. A few years ago, I actually thought, like, if I were to go spend some time with some leaders, who would I want to go spend time with? And I reached out to several of them via email, cold correspondence. And this one guy who lives in Pennsylvania, who's a writer that I really respected, responded, yeah, come on up. So I went up and I spent four or five days with him and his family and just learned from him. And I think if we can just be leaders who are willing to give of ourselves, that's probably the first thing that anybody who's looking for someone to lead them needs.
I love that.
I love that you wrote him and he said yes, and you just went and spent time with him and his family in his home.
I'm going to do that now. I want to do that, totally.
I think it's a great idea.
Me too. What's your address?
Mary, he's on your radio show.
I know where he lives.
Well, I'll hang out with you anytime,
Mary. Okay. Cool. I mean, you've said some amazing things already, and those that are tuning in tonight, we hope that you're getting some inspiration from Cole Neesmith. But when we come back, we're going to learn about the future of Creative City Project and the dreams and goals that Cole has with our artists and our community and what he's really trying to accomplish. So we hope that you will join us and tune back in on Magic 107.7 with Mary Thompson Hunt, Joshua Cree, From the Heart.
Welcome back, everyone, to From the Heart here on Magic 107.7. I am Mary Thompson Hunt, here with my co-host, the 24-carat Joshua Vickery. He's my 24-carat co-host.
I never know what you're going to say now. This is exciting.
I'm having fun with it. Today, our wonderful guest is Cole Neesmith. Cole is just filled with stories and passion and talent, and he's here talking to us about many things, the Creative City Project, also the City Beautiful Church. So tell us a little bit more about the creative process for you. Is this what we were going to talk about this time? Forgive me. Because you're looking at me like deer in a headlight.
No, we can talk about that.
But I could tell it wasn't.
Let's talk about the creative process for you. You know, you've written two books.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. What are those two books you've written?
I wrote a book called Creative Faith, which is the intersection of creativity, leadership, and faith. You know, it's interesting. Growing up, creativity and faith, in my tradition, in my experience, were actually kind of opposed to one another. I think I grew up in a faith system that was very rigid and very much know the quote unquote truth and those being the highest ideals. But, you know, I think I, even as a child, was a mystic. Like, I loved watching Unsolved Mysteries and the X-Files. But, I have really found the value in approaching the concept of faith with creativity and saying, how can we think about this in a different way? Because for me, the end goal of faith is change. And, you can't approach change with rigidity. Those things are opposed to one another. So I think that faith and creativity are actually really connected to one another.
And that's what you need with change.
Yeah.
You need flexibility. You need faith. The first thing I learned about leadership is that leadership means change. You're guiding people through change because yeah. we don't like it as human beings.
Right. ever evolving, as we were saying. Yeah. So when you talk about creative process, what fuels you? What is your inspiration? Mm. What motivates you to create?
Yeah. I remember going to see La Nuba for the first time. It was the first Cirque du Soleil show that I had ever seen at Downtown Disney. And I was just sitting there as, you know, I don't know, I was probably in my early 20s. And like, I just started crying. it was seeing those people achieve what they were achieving because all of them were excellent at the one thing that each of them did. And they brought those things together and they did something exponentially more effective than any of them could have ever done on their own. And their willingness to come together and to contribute what they have with excellence to create something that was far beyond what any of them could have done by themselves. I think that is what's inspiring to me. That's what's inspiring to me about going to see an orchestra. Mm. Everybody's playing their instrument with excellence, but the sound that they're making, none of them could have ever made on their own. And that's why I think Creative City Project is so collaborative. Because none of the arts organizations or none of the individual artists who are part of the Creative City Project could achieve what it is that we're doing together when we bring the critical mass of creativity into the public spaces of our city on October 15th, 2016.
Mm. I love
that. When I create, I have, like, for me, I love being in the mountains. Mm. I love the cold air. You know, I love being away from the busyness and the craziness. That's when I feel most creative. But what is it about downtown Orlando shutting down Orange Avenue that fuels creativity?
Yeah. Well, I went in 2009 to Valencia, Spain, and they have this festival there called Las Fallas. And they build...
Say that again.
Las Fallas.
I know, I like
F-A-L-L-S. And they build the neighborhoods, actually. The people of the neighborhoods build these statues that range in 20 feet tall. In the middle square and the central square, there's a statue that's probably 80 or 90 feet tall. And the last day of the festival, they set them all on fire. And everybody comes out of their house, and it's dangerous, and it's dirty, and it's gritty, and the fire department is on hand because the buildings could catch on fire. But there's something about the unwieldy nature of the community coming out to the streets and doing something that feels a little bit dangerous that just, like, excites me. I think I'm a little bit of a rebel at heart, and like, I love the fact that there is this thing that's so old that it existed before any, like, sort of insurance people or any sort of municipal people or any sort of lawyers could have told them they're not allowed to do it. And so I think in a few ways, like, the Creative City Project wants to instill that concept of these old world European festivals that bring a community together in the heart, in the pulsing metropolitan center of a city in a way that's really connected to a sense of place and transforming that sense of place, if only for a night, but I think we have ripple effects that says, this is an exciting place to be.
Mm, and it is. Faith, because you also have a church.
Yeah.
I once heard that art, creating art, is prayer.
Hmm.
And they are such big parts of you, the creative artist, and also you as a pastor. How do those go hand in hand for you?
In some ways, they're really connected. Like I was talking about before, the concept of approaching life with an expectation of change. I think that's creativity. And in some ways, it's a tension. I don't think it's a problem, but it's a tension. You know, as an artist, how do I live a life that's true to who I am, but isn't constantly editing my creativity or the products that I'm making? How do I leave space for some of the grittiness that is creativity? And I think that's actually one of the things that I'm learning about my faith as well, is that, you know, I think growing up, I thought the best version of my faith was to live a sterile life that looks like a laboratory. But that's not life, and that's not living, and that's not faith. That life is actually the elimination of faith. And one of the things that I've tried to do is, like, how do I embrace a healthy sense of grittiness?
What does that mean to you?
Grittiness?
Yeah.
Asking questions and trying new things and stepping out where there is no foundation beyond my own abilities. Doing things that cause me and other people to ask questions and say, are you allowed to do that? I think I've allowed the question, are you allowed to do that, to dictate what I don't do for too long? And I think there's a really high value of doing things that cause me and others to ask, are you really allowed to do that?
That's like, a good question to ask for sure. Yeah. So, you know, looking ahead, here we are on, you know, Sunday night, Magic 107.7, Mary and I just hanging out, talking to Cole, learning incredible leadership lessons. We thought we were going to talk about just creativity and art, but boy, this has been like leadership 101. But let's fast forward to October.
Yeah.
Tell us, what are we going to experience this year? What's new, exciting, innovative? What is it that, why does every single person listening to this station right now need to go to Creative City Project?
Well, we will have over 1,000 artists in the streets of downtown Orlando on October 15th, 2016. And we want you to be there to experience all that those artists are going to bring. Because they're going to be bringing adventurous experiences that maybe cause you to ask that question, are they allowed to do that? So we want to invite artists into something that allows them to have some permission to do something in the public space that maybe they're not always allowed to do. And I think our audience really enjoys those kinds of experiences. And so some of those experiences, you know, we have a call to artists in July. So if you want to know more about that, you can stay tuned on our Facebook page. So just search Creative City Project on our Facebook page. If you're an artist or if you're somebody who just wants to stay connected to what we're doing, please find us there. But in July, we'll have our general call to artists. And we'll have over 1,000 artists participating this year. But we've already begun our collaborations with some of our more significant arts organizations that take a lot more planning. So the Central Florida Community Arts Orchestra, over 100 orchestral musicians. We're going to, again, this year, put them in a space that allows the audience to stand among the sections of those orchestra. Of that orchestra, so that audience members can have this immersive orchestral experience. Our collaboration with Cirque du Soleil this year is going to be really exciting. Right on Orange Avenue, we'll have a big crane out there, and they'll have two acrobats doing a performance from the end of that crane with one of their singers standing on the balcony of a high rise in the distance singing live as those acrobats perform. The Orlando Ballet will be back again this year. We're partnering for the first time this year with the Orlando Philharmonic, and we're really excited to have them back. And this isn't official yet, but I'll just throw it out there because I'm really excited about it, and hopefully we'll be able to make it happen. But one of the things that we've been talking about with Eric, the new music director at the Phil, something that he's really excited about is having a call to local and regional songwriters to submit songs. We'll do a songwriter competition.
What?
And we'll choose two or three winners from that competition and hopefully have an orchestrated accompaniment that those performers will then be able to perform those orchestrated accompaniments live as part of the Creative City Project.
Wow, that's cool. So if you're a local songwriter or know one, stay tuned to the Creative City Project to look for those opportunities. I know that you also intersect technology and creativity a lot. I know there were some things last year, like putting stuff up on the side of a budget truck and creating songs. Are there any really cool technology things you're doing this year?
Yeah. So we have some really great partnerships. We're in conversations with the Orlando Tech Association right now about how we can actually kind of begin creating even more momentum with those who work in technological fields in our city. And because there really are some really fun opportunities for collaboration between technology and the arts, interactive technologies. We have some projection installations that in kind of the same way we're doing with the Central Florida Community Arts Orchestra, where the audience can immerse themselves in the music. We have these projection installations where the audience is at the center, and it's this immersive light projection audio encounter. And it's been really cool to watch audiences experience those things that, again, they're not able to experience really anywhere else in the world. So I think it's really fun that we have some unique offerings.
So next year on October 16th, the morning after the Orlando City Project, and you wake up and you think about the night before, what do you want to think? What do you want to remember?
Oh, gosh. I want to remember those moments where I saw a family encounter the ballet for the first time. I want to remember those moments, like literally the projection installation that I was just talking about. I have stood in the shadows and looked onto that, and no one knew I was looking, and I've seen people cry because they're having this encounter with a wordless experience that is moving them in a way that they don't understand. Or, you know, even just like seeing all of the social media activity of people who are taking a picture of those acrobats hanging from a crane in the middle of Orange Avenue. And they say, I didn't know this happened in Orlando. Mm. I've had so many conversations with people who have said, my view of what Orlando is changed because of what I experienced at the Creative City Project. And to know that that our artists, the artists of our community, when we come together with that creative momentum on October 15th, 2016 in downtown Orlando, we're literally changing the way people think and experience our city.
Mm. What I love about the artists there, it's that none of us think about the money. We just find the way to get it done. And we're all so into it. We're all like building. And each component gets there and they've all put everything in it. That's what artists do, right? And then it was this big festival of everyone thinking the way we were. You could feel the palpable energy in the air of what everyone was bringing. And when people came, they were like, what is this? It's free? I'm getting my family. And the streets just filled. It was a big celebration of life.
Yeah. And, you know, for us, the long-term vision of what Creative City Project can be, and is, I've kind of become to describe it in this small phrase, what Art Basel has meant for Miami and the visual arts. And if you don't know what Art Basel is, go look it up, B-A-S-E-L. It's great. It's artists and galleries from all over the world converge on Miami the first or second week in December. And hundreds of thousands of people come to see the best in visual arts from all over the world. And as a result of that, Miami is different. There are more artists in Miami. The Wynwood District has transformed into dozens and dozens of gallery spaces. Miami has become more creative because of what Art Basel has done in the visual arts realm in Miami. And what Art Basel has become to the visual arts around the world, but also for Miami, we believe that the Creative City Project can be that for the performing arts and for interactive art and for Orlando. And so we want our city to transform into a vibrant, creative place where performing artists from all over the world who are innovating in their field and who are making the most compelling and important performance art come here because they know they have a platform and they know they have a community that cares about what they're doing and says, we believe in you.
Just Cole, I wish you were just more passionate about this.
We need a cup of coffee for this one.
You know, the other thing, too, about being at Creative City Project last year was there are a lot of people who come because they know Creative City Project is happening. Then half the crowd just happened to be downtown that night and stumbled upon this incredible experience of the arts. And to see the faces of people going, what is this? Mm-hmm. And exploring the arts is incredible. But quickly before we go, because I know we talked earlier about Cole being a Renaissance man, and he's not just a leader and an author and a pastor and all
singer,
these,
actor.
But he's a performer. Yes. And you got a friend show coming up. So tell us about the friend show that's happening that you're in and involved with.
Yeah. So we actually just on Sunday had our third performance of The Sugar Crash Kids. So it's at the Orlando International Fringe Festival. There are tons and tons of shows that are happening that range from things like our show, which is family friendly and great for kids and kids of all ages, all the way to not so family friendly shows. But our show, we have several more performances. You can find that on Facebook as well. If you just want to search for Sugar Crash Kids, I haven't come to describe it as if Pixar put a stage show together, that it would be this show, because kids will love it, but the parents who are bringing the kids will love it. And if you don't have kids, you'll love it too. And then there's original music in it that I would say if Dashboard Confessional were to write music for a kid's show, they would write this music that's in this show. So the Sugar Crash Kids is a podcast that's been around for several seasons. Some local creatives here in Orlando actually started that. It's about an imaginary land called Hoogla Fair. And there's all kinds of zany characters who live on this island. And there's original music in all of their podcast episodes. So this is the first time that that story has come to stage.
And what venue are you in?
We are in the Orange Venue, which
that's
is one of the
big venue in the Orlando Shakes.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Mary knows her fringe, I tell you.
Yeah, she does.
So go see Sugar Crash Kids. And boy, there are so many wonderful fringe shows happening. I just posted on my Facebook during the radio, and it is light up. And Sugar Crash Kids was one of them that somebody wrote when I said, what's the shows to go see? But Little Women, a rap musical, all the way to the Elephant's Graveyard, and so, so much more. So go check out the Fringe Festival. And Cole, it has been an absolute joy and pleasure to spend time with you. I wish
Likewise.
We could have spent even more time.
Will you come back sometime?
Of course.
I still have to ask that question, your theme song.
Yeah.
Check out the City Beautiful Church. And remember, October the 15th, 2016, Creative City Project. Mary and I will be there. Cole will be there. We'll hope you'll be there too. Thanks for joining us tonight on Magic 107.7 FM from the heart. We'll see you next week.
Bye.